Log Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was going to do.
I want you to just give me a minute to just open up my chat room right quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We just thank God for his grace, hallelujah, and his mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We just thank you, God. Hallelujah. I hope the chat room is up. Ain't available, and yes, it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Just want all of you, hallelujah, to just come aboard. I have the chat room up right now, and it's available to each and every one. Just bring your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip. Hallelujah, and just allow, hallelujah, Pastor Ward, overseer, whatever you want to call me, I will answer long as it's right and long as it's respectful, and I will minister unto you. So I just want you to get your good seat, bring all your digital devices, or call them our toys, because we cannot seem to live without them. Hallelujah. We have to have them in every area of our lives. So I just want you just to come aboard. I want to welcome all of my guests, my first-time listeners. I want to welcome my business colleague. I want to welcome the Kingdom Assembly of God. I want to welcome my kinship family and all of you under the sound of my voice on this evening. I want you just to come aboard. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. We'll roll out the red mat for you. Hallelujah. So once again, you are tuned in to our producer is Blog Talk Radio. And this program, which is, I call it a church, it's a virtual church experience is what it is. And this is a church because we are the church. We are the church. We are the walking billboard for God. So we are the church. And so this is a virtual praise and worship church experience. So you are tuned in to the Old Ship of Zion. And I tell you, you just speaking with your moderator is yours truly no other than overseer-elect Janice Ward. And I just want you to just be seated, be comfortable, and just, you know, hope you enjoy the church experience on this morning, because we intend for the Lord to meet us here as he always have. And so right now we're going to go into a prayer where we pray for those that has lost loved ones. And I know this week, I believe, and last week, some of the friends that I know have lost loved ones. You know, I think one sister lost her mother. She's an only child, and she lost her mother, and I think it was another brother that lost his mother. So I'm telling you that, you know, we're all experiencing a loss in some kind of way in our family. May it be, you know, our mother, our father, our aunt and uncle, grandparents, a business colleague, a cousin, a friend that just, you just love them like they should be kin to you. They may not be no blood kin, but to you, you've known them, you know, all of your life, and you love them just as well as they're being, you know, blood kin. But whatever the case might be, we always come along and we pray for you, because we all need prayer. The Bible says we are to be prayerful and pray one to another. So this is the way we can, share, you know, being obedience unto God and to his word and to his covenant is to obey what God has instructed us to do. So we want you just to bow your beautiful heads at this time as we go down and pray for those that has lost loved ones. May it be last week, may it be this week, may it be yesterday, today, moments ago. We want you to know that you're not alone. You might be bodily alone, but you're not earthly alone, because it is, I mean, God's children just scattered all over the planet Earth. So you have prayer warriors, you have men and women, young and old and in betwixt, that are praying for you and with you in your hour of a great loss. Because anytime we lose someone that is near and dear to our heart, it's always, you know, a heart-breaking thing. I tell you, and I know firsthand what it means to lose someone that's near and dear to your heart, because I've lost both of my parents. I've lost my grandparents. I've lost numerous of siblings. I've lost my husband. I've lost cousins and people that was near and dear to my heart. So I know what it feels like. I'm not talking about what I've heard, what somebody told me, but I'm talking about on-hand experience. And so I just want you to just be encouraged. We're praying that God will just take you and cradle you, hallelujah, in his bosom. Hallelujah, as only he can do. Wipe away your tears and bring back your joy that you once knew. So we just want you to be encouraged on this evening. We want you just to be encouraged and know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to go on into an opening prayer. Each time that we approach this stage, hallelujah, we fail not to acknowledge and reference God. In all that we do, we should reference him. All that we do in our business, in our private lives, in our day-to-day itinerary, we are to acknowledge God. And he shall direct yours and mine and our steps, hallelujah, in our pathway. So I'm just warning you once again to just bow your beautiful heads as we acknowledge God at this time. Father God, hallelujah, we thank you. You, our Lord and our Savior, you love us more than words could even convey, God. We thank you, God, for not what you do for us, but we thank you because of who you are. We thank you because you first loved us, God. You paid the ultimate ransom that no one else could pay, God, for the sins that we had committed, God. You didn't commit any sins, but we did. We thank you for being such a gracious Lord and Savior and soon coming Messiah, God. We know you to be Jesus of Nazareth. We know you was born in Bethlehem, hallelujah. You're a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. And we just thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity, God. Come before your presence with hymns and singing and hallelujah and preaching the divine word of God as you had instructed me to do, God. We just thank you, God, for allowing us to congregate, God, from just our own, in our own privatized way. We don't have to get in an automobile and drive anywhere. All we have to do is get in our own little privatized area and just get hooked up to our digital devices. Tune in, and here we are. We thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity to deliver your word as you have instructed us to do, God. We just thank you, God, for allowing us to mount up from the four corners of this earth, God, starting from the north, south, east, and west, pilgrims traveling through, hallelujah, this barren land. For we know that this is only our temporary place of refuge, place of sleep and rest and play. This is a temporary place, but you have already, God, designated us a place that's not built by the hand of man, But you are the architect and you are the creator, God. We thank you, God. And until you crack those clouds one historical day, until, hallelujah, your coming is upon us, God, we will continue moving in your will and in your way, moving upward and onward, God, doing what you would have us to do. Hallelujah, with just a grateful heart, God. I thank you, God, and I want you, God, to just meet us in the temple on tonight, God. I want you to touch everyone that need prayer, God, need a healing, need a miracle. We know that you are a miracle worker, God. And we thank you, God, and we just want you just, God, to just, hallelujah, touch this vocal right here, God, this mouthpiece. And God, I want you just to direct with me what you want me to say, God. You said, don't worry about what I'm going to say, because in that hour you would give each individual what you would have them to say, God. Lord, we want to just touch these lips of clay. Enable me, God, to bring a word to those that may not know of you in the parts of their iniquity. Hallelujah. Give me words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory. We'll be so mindful to give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. Let the temple of God and his people, let the temple repeat, let the temple of God and his people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So without any further ado, hallelujah, we're going to just dive right on into the word of God. And I sermon on tonight entitled Grasshopper Mentality Revised Part 1. I want to say that one more time. Our theme or our sermon on tonight entitled Grasshopper Mentality. It's been revised and this is Part 1. Hallelujah. This is Part 1 of this year. So we have another sermon under the same title, but this is a different day and a different era. So that's the reason why it's called Revised. And this is Part 1 in our new year of 2019. And so we're talking about faith. We're talking about putting totality in God. We're talking about removing fear and placing fear with faith. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about, because we know that, you know, when we began to talk about trust in God, we know that many of us, we tend to be afraid. And God tells us that, he said, it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, a lot of us, we have a wish list that we would want God to honor some of the things, some of them. We might want God to honor all of them, but that's to God's discretion. If he want to honor all of our prayer petition that we place at the feet of God, it's his discretion. If he want, he can honor all of them. He can honor a few. He can honor some. He don't have to honor any of them. It's up to God to do as he pleases, because we cannot tell God what to do. We cannot order God around like he's our husband, our wife, our son or daughter, our students in the classroom setting. But we have to come to God intelligently, respectfully, honorably approach the throne of God and ask God, dear God, I have a prayer petition that I would really like for you to honor if it be your will. Not my will, but if it be thine will. Let your will be done in me. That's where you have to approach the throne seat of God. Not, you know, trying to tell God what to do, but we go in prayer, humbly submitted respectfully to the throne room of God, and God will honor our petitions if it be His will. God will give us some of our desires. God will give us some of our wants, but God promised to take care of all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So, you know, you have an itinerary list that you want God to honor. Some of you might desire a husband. You know, some of you might desire a husband. Some of you might desire a wife. You've been a widow or widower for many years. And you feel like, well, now, you know, you've waited long enough and you want God to bless you with that desired husband or wife. And God will do that. Some of you have an itinerary where you want to open up your own business. Some of you have an itinerary where you want a brand new automobile. Some of you have an itinerary where you want to, you know, have a baby, you know. Some of you have an itinerary where you want to adopt. So whatever your prayer itinerary is, you place it at the feet of God, not being a doubting Thomas, but being a believer that what you have asked God to do in your life, that He's going to do it. But you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. And God don't require us to have a whole lot of faith. He didn't say have a mount every type of faith. That would be good, but that's not what God had required of you and I and us. But God said that we only had to have a mustard seed of faith. You know, that same faith that when you leave your home, you go to work, you go on your journey, you go on your business trip, you go on your vacation, you go to visit someone, you go to the hospital and you pray for the sick and the shut in. Hallelujah. You go into the courtroom. You're going in there as to be uplift of somebody. Maybe you know law yourself. You might be an attorney. So you go in to defend, hallelujah, your, you know, your person that you are, that you're defending, the client. And so you are going in with confidence. You're going in with faith that you're going to win your case. You're going in with faith that when you put the key in your door and turn the knob, your door, it better open. You want to know why. You stick the key in the ignition switch of your automobile. In the ignition switch of, you've got a good battery, and you know that everything is up on the car. It's been seen, and you know that everything about it has been taken care of. The oil has been changed. There's been transmission fluid, if you need that, put in windshield wiper fluid. And you've put gas in it, fuel in it. You know it's got to have fuel in order to take you from A to B to C. And so you've did everything. You've had everything mechanically inclined on your car. So you know that when you stick your key in the switch, turn it over, you're looking for it to crank. So that's the same type of faith God is looking for. You know, in order for God to ever move in yours and mine and our lives, we must trust God. I mean, we cannot pray and then doubting at the same time. But we have to pray knowing that if God has ever done anything, and I know it's not one iota individual that's in my listening audience on this morning that God has not blessed at some point in time in your life. So you know whatever God has done for you, if God has kept a tractor trailer from coming over into your lane, or you couldn't even pray, you just said, Jesus, and God stretched out His mighty hand. You had that micro dot side of faith. you had that mustard seed side of faith, size of faith, because that's all he requires you and I, is to have just a mustard side seed of faith. I know the devil trying to trump up my tongue, but he's a lie. He's a lie, and he's a father of lies. But you get where I'm going. And so I'm saying that that mustard side seed of faith that you use every day to go to your car, to go to the door, entrance door of your home, your office, your workplace, your business establishment. You pull the door of the bank, and you know if the hours of operation are where you can go into that bank. You get out of your car, you pull up to the bank, you get out of your car, you go to the door of the bank and you pull it, and you're looking for that door to come open because the hour of operation is upon you. And you know that that business establishment is supposed to open the door, where maybe you have to manually pull the door open. Sometime it might, electronically open and let you in. But you, what I'm saying is, you got faith because you have gotten in your automobile, you've driven to your bank. And so that alone is faith, that you got in your car and you headed to the bank. So you're looking to get to the bank without any hurt, harm, or danger coming to you. That's what I'm talking about. Having faith in God, that what you ask God to do, God will do it, because we know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So my sister and my brother, God has never lied, and God is not to start lying about anything. God hates liars, so God is not going to start lying to you and I and us. But God is a promise keeper. God is a spiritual man, spiritual God, spiritual deity, Holy One, Savior, Father God, Messiah. He's got many names. God is not a God that he should lie. So whatever God said in his 66 books, is gone to come to pass. Whatever you've asked God for and you believed it in faith, sometimes it takes, because, you know, God also says that faith without work is dead. So you can have faith all day long, but if you don't go out there and stick the key in your ignition of your car, you're not going anywhere. If you got faith, then you go up on the premises of your resident. You put the key into your door, your entrance door, your rear door, your side door. And you got the faith that when you minister that key into that lock and turn it, you're looking for it to come open, unless it's electronically, you know, you got it secured devices to where, you know, it will come open. Sometimes you might have to program it, you know, your numbers in. But however you get into your residence, you know how you get in. All I'm saying is that you got faith enough to believe that when you put your key in your door, it's going to open. Well, that's the same type of faith that God is looking for. And sometimes we have to push the plate back, and we call that fasting. Fasting for a miracle. Sometimes it depends on how big. We know that God, nothing is too big or too small for God. But what I'm saying, a lot of times when we want God to do a big thing in our lives, it's going to take, you know, some us on our part to pray and to believe God and fast. And if you say, well, you know, I would say, Lord, you know, I'm on medicine and I'm unable to, you know, fast for 2 or 3 days like I used to do, or a week at a time, or, you know, days at a time. Well, you can fast 30 minutes. You can fast, you know, 15 minutes. You can might say, well, Lord, I'm going to miss breakfast, but I'm going to eat my lunch and my dinner. You know, I'm going to miss lunch, and I'm going to eat my breakfast and my dinner. And you can just kind of, you know, switch it around, you know, because God is looking at our heart. That's all he's looking at. He's looking at the sincerity of yours and mine and our heart. That's all God is looking at. And so when you pray and you move the plate back a little bit, and you get down on your knees and you pray, and if you don't ain't able to get down on your knees, you can just pray where you're sitting or you're lying, and pray to God what you want him to do in your life. And believe that, and I guarantee you God will do it. I'm a living witness to that. No, I'm not talking about something I heard, but I'm talking about firsthand experience of what God can do in a individual's life. So we're going to read a little bit. Because we know that, you know, we're going to try to bring you some worship and praise, hymns of Zion. But right now, we want to bring you the Word of God. We want to bring you some manna. We want to bring you something that's going to take you into this next week. God says the same. You know, we need the Word, hallelujah, to be able to go to work and be amongst all of those individuals that don't know God and, you know, always bringing drama to the workplace. Always got something to say. Never got anything pleasant, but they always, you know, got something negativity. So you need, you know, to be filled up on God to be able to go back into that workplace amongst all of that that you have to encounter every day and days in and days out. We need God. And so the only way to do that is to pray and seek God's face and fast for what we want God to do. Not that God won't do it, but we have to do our part. You know, a lot of us, we just want God to do, and we don't do anything. But see, like I just first stated, faith without works is dead. You say, I want to call all day long. But if you don't go to the dealership of the car that you desire, you say, I want a car. That's all you said. But you're not doing anything as well as footwork is concerned. You know, you have to get out there and go to looking for what type of automobile that you desire. Because if it's an automobile that you don't want, then we got a problem. Because that's an automobile that you will not pay for. Because it is not the desired automobile of your choice. Somebody is, you know, trying to just quickly put you into a car just to sell a car. You say, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm going to go elsewhere. And you take your money elsewhere. And you keep going till somebody sells you the desired automobile that you desire. And if you desire it, then you're going to make the note every month. Without fail. So we're going to read a little bit into the Word of God because I've talked enough now, and so I'm going to read a little bit, and you can get your pens out or your notepad or your digital devices, and you can write down some of the scripture reading and go back at your own discretion and go over some of the scriptures that I have brought unto you on this morning. So we're going to read Acts 16 and 25, and it reads this. It says that about midnight, Paul and Silas, hallelujah, were praying and were singing songs to God as the other prisoners listened. You know, sometime in our spiritual lives, you know, we can be praying, riding along in our car. We can be praying and singing the hymns of Zion as we're going down the road. And you can go on where your destination leads you. Sometimes you'll be going one place and God will lead you to a total different direction. I've had God to do me like that so many times. And not long ago, just since this new year has been upon us, I was, you know, was gone. I had done some shopping and I took some things back. And then I was looking for some other biblical things, and so I didn't find anything, but I had sent my little student to go and look for me, and then the Lord just placed upon my heart to go and look for myself. So upon me going looking for myself, I met a shopper. It was a male shopper. And so I think we exchanged, you know, greetings, hello, how you? And I said the same. And I asked him, you know, how was his Christmas and his New Year, and he told me. And then I expressed how mine was. And so then he began to, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm just kind of a impulse shopper. And he said the same thing. I said, you know, God, God don't want us just, you know, shopping, you know, just without reason. In other words, just shopping, just to be shopping. And I told him, you know, that I would, you know, was going to be less of, you know, spender on this year. And so he said the same thing. And he said, you know, he had been, you know, just trying to make ends meet and all that stuff, and just kind of shared some of his testimony with me. And I just felt to just kind of talk to him and kind of witness to him. And he knew about God and everything. We knew some of the same ministers. And so we just kind of shared, you know, I different views and what have you. And I began to tell him that, you know, whatever he was going through, that hallelujah, that God was going to bring him out with a victory, you know. And that wasn't what, you know, I went to the store to do. I went to exchange what I wanted to exchange, get my money, and exit the building. But then God had something else for me. See, that's what I'm saying. You have one thing on your itinerary, and then God can turn your itinerary a 360-degree turn. And that's what he did to me, because I found myself ministering to this young man, and he needed ministry because he was brokenhearted, and he was downtrodden, he was oppressed, he was depressed. And so God just put on my heart to just talk to him and, you know, just love on him. And I told him that, you know, whatever he was going through, that God was going to bring him out, and that trouble don't last always, hallelujah. And so I began to just tell him whatever God has instructed me to tell him, what God had put on my lips to tell him. And he started to weeping right there before me. And when he started the weeping, my allergies started to kick in, and before I knew anything, there was water in my eyes streaming down my face. And we began to embrace. He hugged me, and I kissed him on the cheek, and he said, oh, my wife is not going to believe this, you know, that he met a minister in the store. And I tell you, it was such an emotional, magical, spiritual moment, him and I. And so we exchanged, you know, information and everything. I gave him my church information and the church number and everything, you know, and like I said, it was such a spiritual moment. It was so beautiful. You just know that it was nothing but orchestrated through and by God himself. And I'll tell you, that young man did not leave the way he came. He left totally a different man. Hallelujah. And I could just feel the anointing of God in the room where we were standing in the aisle of the store. Didn't nobody really come by and bother us. We was just talking. I was preaching to him and ministering to him what God has laid on my heart and was putting on my lips to tell him. And I'll tell you, you know, usually people would come by, you know, and kind of, you know, interfere with what you're saying or what have you, might be asking questions about, you know, where can you find this or that, you know. But, I mean, God was in full control. God was in full throttle here, because did nobody come and intercept what God had going on. And I'll tell you, I felt so good when I left that store. I felt so good, and because I knew that it was God that guided my footstep on that night. I was thinking about exiting the door and getting into my car and going on about my business, but God had something else that he wanted me to do. And me being the obedient daughter that I am, I did what God instructed me to do. And you know, we have to be obedient to God leading. We have to be obedient. If God says, you know, don't exit that door, then don't exit. God has something else in store for us. We don't always know what God has in store, because God has, you know, always surprises for us. Not, you know, just surprises that will soon be a blessing to us in our own lives, you know. See, the Bible says that, you know, we ought to be helpers one to another. And so, you know, when we told God that we would, you know, be his mouthpiece and be his hands and be his feet, you know, and we would go out and we would preach his word, then we have to live up to that, because God is holding you and I and us accountable for what we told God that we would do. We said, God, I'm going to preach your word wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. So that means that our preaching is not going to always be in a temple. It's not going to always be in a tent meeting. It's not going to always be in a church setting, because we are the church, like I first stated when I was opening the program. We are the church. See? And so when we go to a building, that's a gathering. But we are the church. We are the temple that God dwell in. God already said he will not dwell in an unclean temple. So we are the church. My sister and my brother, we are the church that God talks about. And so I had on my itinerary that I was going to go to the store. I was going to return what I wanted to return, get my money, and go about my way. But God has something on his itinerary that he wanted me to do. And God was not going to stop until his will be accomplished. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we don't always get our way in what we want to do. God has to get his way, because we know that God is the way. God said, I am the way. I am the truth and the light. No man cometh but by me and through me. And God said that if you try to come in any other way, Jesus said that you come like a thief and a robber, or come as a thief and a robber. So we're talking about grasshopper mentality. We're talking about faith and fear. We're talking about trusting God as our protector, trusting God and taking him at his word. So we're going to read this scripture once more. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and were singing songs to God as the other prisoners listened. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Acts 16 and 25. And we're talking, since we're talking about faith versus fear, we know that great acts of faith are seldom born out of calm calculations. We know that it wasn't logic that caused Moses to rise, that caused Moses to raise, his staff on the bank of the Red Sea. It wasn't medical research that convinced Naaman to dip seven times in the river. It wasn't common sense that caused Paul to abandon the law and embrace grace. It wasn't a confident committee that prayed in a small room in Jerusalem for Peter's release from prison. It wasn't a fearful, desperate band of back into a corner of believers. But it was a church with no option. It was a congregation of have not and pleading for help. And never were they stronger. We know that at the beginning of every act of faith, there is often a seed of fear. And we're talking about, hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. We're talking about grasshopper mentality. And we're going to read in the law of Mark 16:4. It reads this. Hallelujah. It says that when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 16:4. The woman who sought to anoint the dead body of Jesus, she is to be commended for her tender love and regards for the Savior. And yet as they came near the place of burial, the practical difficulty of moving the heavy stone that sealed his tomb brought them unnecessary anxiety. Their fear was groundless. It had already been moved. So too, you and I and us were often needless concerned over prospective difficulties that God graciously removes or helps us overcome. Let us exercise greater faith in facing possibly obstructions on the pathway of duty. We may be sure of the Lord's assistance in such matters. We will press on in his name and for his glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that we can go forward today on the pathway of service, undaunted by possible future obstacles. Let your heart be cheered by the certainty that whatever difficulty you and I might face, God will move the stone. If God doesn't remove an obstacle, he'll help you and I and us find a way around it. All you and I have to do is just put our faith in God. Don't put your faith in Mr. Jones or Miss Jones. Don't put your faith in Tyrone. But put your faith in God. A God that never lost a match. Never had he encountered a TKO. But God is the knockout man on the first round. You don't have to go 10 rounds with God. You'll get a technical knockout on round one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so in the law of 2 Kings 6:16, it reads this. It says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that scripture reading once again is coming out of the law of 2 Kings 6:16. And I am reminded of a man who told how he dealt with a childhood fear. He said that almost every night he would wake up in the darkness and then imagine scary creatures lurking outside of his room. Often he would be too scared to go back to sleep. Sometimes he would go and lie down by the door of his parents' bedroom, figuring that as long as he was near them, nothing would hurt him. And you know, we have experienced that in our own young lives. As when we were children, we were afraid of the dark. When our mothers and our parents would cut the lights out, maybe a light that was in another room giving you light that you could see throughout the other part of the house. But when your mother and your father turned the lights out, it was total darkness, and you was afraid. But as long as you was near to that parent, maybe, you know, those of you that was in a one-parent family household or two-parent family household, it doesn't matter. But as long as you was near to the person that you love, hallelujah, you felt nothing could hurt you. Nothing could harm you. Hallelujah. But sometimes We know that the child needs for some physical evidence of his or her parents present. Remind me of a young servant, and his name was Elijah. We're told that he woke up early one morning, found that the Syrian army had surrounded the city. He was alarmed and afraid, cried out. He cried out, "Master, what shall we do?" And after Elijah prayed, the Lord opened the young servant's eyes. What he saw must have filled him with awe and wonders. The Bible said that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. That's coming out of the law of 2 Kings 6 and 16, verse 17. We find out that the Lord's army was there to protect them. We too at times long for God to give you and I and us some kind of reassurance that he is near. And sometimes he does, but that's the exception. He wants you and I to learn to trust God, to trust his promise that he is with you and I and us. No matter how frightening your circumstances, God's people always have more on their side than the enemy has on his. And we know that at times our fear may loom so large, we long for proof that God is near. It's then our Father says to you and I and us, "So have faith, my child, and do not fear." We know that faith knows that God is working behind the scene. And as long as God is working behind the scene, you and I have no room for fear. Because we know that it's impossible to please God in a state of fear. We have to move fear out the way and move faith in the way. Do a replacement. So move away fear and replace it with faith. We're talking about a grasshopper mentality. Revised part one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this grasshopper mentality. We know that in this passage we read the report given to Moses by the spies that he sent to investigate the land. God had promised to his people. The majority report was depressing. It was dark. It was negative and it was faithless because in these men's eyes, their only hope was in their own ability. They could only see themselves as grasshoppers among so great a people. Actually, the fact that they reported was true. Number one, the people who lived there were powerful. That was true. Number two, the city were fortified and very large. That's true. Number three, there were giants that was in the land. Number four, the people were of great size. Number five, it was a land that devoured its inhabitants. But these 10 men had a grasshopper mentality, a mentality that produced fear. Mentality that produced doubt. Mentality that produced anger. Mentality that produced anxiety. Mentality that produced apathy. Mentality that produced bitterness. Mentality that produced deception. Mentality that allowed self-esteem in them. Such a mentality caused them to forget the promise of God. They forgot the covenant that he had made with Israel to be their God. They forgot the great and wondrous work he had already done for them. And sometimes you and I, us, we are guilty of that same circumstantial fact. We have forgotten what God has already done in our lives, God, and what God has already, the acts that God has already performed in our lives. Then we began to doubt God, because God has already showed up and showed out in our lives that we have forgotten. So we are told that they had a grasshopper mentality, hallelujah. In Numbers 14 and 7 through 9 was also true. We are well able to overcome, number one. Number two, the land is exceedingly good land. That was true. Number three, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. That was true. Hallelujah. So we know that God is a God of his word. We know that the wondrous working power of God with a grasshopper mentality. We see things as they appear, and we walk by sight. But if we walk by faith, we will see that the Lord is with you and I and us. We know that God has not given you and I and us the spirit of fear, but the power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. What a wonderful hope for you and I and us as believers. We can take God as a spiritual word that God will do what he said he would do. We know that in the law of Exodus declare how God delivered the belligerent Hebrews from the Egyptian bondage. So if God had delivered them, why in Numbers 14 would Israel desire their previous slavery and not their future freedom? How could they be so backwards, especially after they witnessed God repeatedly action for them? In short, the root of their continued problems in the wilderness was their lack of faith. And the reason why some of us will not, cannot be blessed by God is because of our lack of faith and trust in God. We have a grasshopper mentality. Instead of trusting God, we are down Thomases. We are down Miss Thomases and Mr. Thomases. They could only see that the situation seemed hopeless. So we know that when life offers, when this life that you and I live in, we exist in right now, when life offered you and I and us no guarantees except death, pressure pushed Israel to the edge of their reason and faith. The blindness to God's power causes them to wail. Would God, they asked, they said, would God that they had died in the land of Egypt? And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? If God bring you to it, my sister and my brother, God will bring you through it. I want to say that one more time. If God bring you to it, God will bring you through it. God is not going to bring you halfway of anything and leave you. But God is going to be with you every area of your life. Every step of your pilgrimage journey, God is going to be with you and I and us. So like I said, in verse 2 through 3, rather than allowing faith, they argued fruitlessly. Israel's anxieties over their difficulties created the powerful illusion that their past was preferable to their future. They lost focus at the worst possible time until Moses pointed them in a different direction. The Lord will bring us into this land and give it us. Verse 8. We know that the key to survival of our generation is to avoid the temptation to look back at the past and remember how God has delivered you and I and us, and has promised you and I and us a future with him. regardless of all other uncertainties, today's spiritual weaknesses and rebellions surrounds God-fearing people. This generation needs to hear that God is able to take us through the desert of drugs, desert of abuse, increasingly immortality, rising violence. More than ever, people under fire need to keep faith in God. More than ever, believers need to embrace God when circumstances look bleak. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And I was taught that when all else fails, faith and adherence to God's truth would sustain me. I was also told that God never fails. And you and I, we can go to God in prayer. That when we see through the eyes of fear and self-hatred, we are weak. Help us, God, to escape anxieties of the past and deliver this generation to a spiritual maturity, faith in your word, and a will to succeed. Come into our lives, Father, for only you can shape our adequacy response. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So we have talked about a grasshopper mentality. We have trusted only what our eyes can see and not what God has already done in our lives. We got to take a look back into our lives. Look in the mirror. You know, some of us has come through cancer. Some of us has come through tuberculosis. Some of us have come through losing your mind, being in the crazy institution, the insane institution, been institutionalized because you've lost your mind. But God gave you back your mind, because we know that when you serve God, there is no such thing as losing your mind. And when you're in the world, you can't lose your mind. You're out of your mind a lot of times because we're doing things that are contrary to God, and we're out of our mind. But when we find God, we find our mind too. We're no longer crazy, acting a fool, you know, saying whatever we want to say, whatever we big enough and bad enough to say. But God give us a new vocabulary. Some of you was cussing like a soldier. Just cursing, everything come out your mouth was a cussing word before God saved you, before God filled you with his holy power, with his Holy Ghost power, put his spirit inside of you, clean you through and through. And now you got a new way of talking, a new way of walking, new identity in Christ, new way of wearing your clothes. Some of you had it all hanging out. But when God saved you, you didn't have a desire to have it all hanging out anymore. Now you got it tucked in. You're looking like a child of God, a woman and a man of God. Why? Because God has changed you and I and us. He's put his spirit down in us, indwell in us, where he's living in a holy temple, not an unclean temple, but a holy temple, because God will not reside in an unclean temple, because God is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if you're not holy, God will not live, cannot live inside of you, unless it is free and debris of sin. Hallelujah. So, like I said, you know, you want God to move out some stones that's in your life. But in order for God to move the stones, you have to trust him to move the mountain. You trust him to move the mountain, you know that the stone is not anything. It's like a micro dot to a great big God that we serve. So I want to encourage you in this new year of 2019 I want you to move away fear and replace it with faith. Because we know that without faith, it's impossible. I mean, despicable, impossible to please God without faith. So I want you to make up in your mind from this point moving forward that you will no longer allow fear to rule in your heart. But you will tell fear it's got to bust a move, that you're going to trust God. Because if God brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it with flying colors. You want a baby? That's no problem with God. You want a husband? That's no problem with God. You want a wife? That's no problem with God. You want your own business? That's no problem with God. You want your own bank account, saving account in your own name? That's no problem with God. You want a new job? You want a supervisory management job? That's no problem with God. You want to adopt children or a child? That's no problem with God. You want a brand new automobile, a 2019 automobile? That's no problem with God. If you got the faith, that's all you need. Faith of a mustard seed is all that is required from God. So I want you to grab hold to faith. Remove that grasshopper mentality from your life, because God is going to do a new thing in your life. Whatever you place at the feet of God, your prayer petitions, God is going to honor them when you show God that you trust him. When you show God that you believe him, you take him at his word. And don't be a doubting Thomas or a doubting Mr. Thomas. But you trust God, because God have never lied. He's not going to start lying today. God is a holy deity. He's a keeper of his word. If he said it, will he not make it good? So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions that you would want the old triple Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to see your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old triple Zion. Your host and moderator have been Overseer Elect Janice Ward. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Elect Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. And if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree in faith, that God will bring your prayer petition to its fruition, you're cordially invited to call in and speak with yours truly live. This is not pre-recorded, but this is live right now, here and now. And speak with your host and moderator, yours truly, Overseer Elect Janice Ward, and God will bring it to pass. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to call in. And if we do not have any callers at this time, we're going to take you into the second phase of our program. That is Hymns of Zion, Uplift Your Spirit and Encourage Your Heart. As you're going into our new week, we need God every day, every minute, every hour, every second of our lives. The devil is busy. He stays busy. He don't take vacations. He don't take breaks. He don't take 15-minute breaks. He don't take your lunch break. He don't take any kind of break. He's busy. He's busy day and night, 24/7. So we know that we have to stay prayed up so we can be able to subdue the enemy and his little imps. Hallelujah. So we know it. We have to pray. And we have to seek God's face for what we want God to do in our lives. Hallelujah. So if there won't be any prayer petitions, hallelujah, Then what we're going to do, we're going to take you on into the next phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. So until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Somebody said, if God said it, then it's so. For God to provide, you're not the same. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was looking at this young man in his wheelchair. Sister Shirley came back there in the back, and we was like, man, he was praising God with everything he had. And y'all come to church, and you sit there and you be like, I don't feel like praising. We complain, mumble, we grumble. I told somebody the other day, they were fussing about, I'm tired of my job, I'm tired of my boss man. I just feel like walking off, and I say, stop. Right now, honey, you need to thank God you got a job. I was in my church, and this little song came to me, and it said, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up for who you
Messiah,
we love you.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you. Jesus, signs of the time, you gotta be renewed by your mind. Thank you.